are we to take our spiritual temperature according to our moods? We are to go back to that irrevocable choice that we made to belong to Jesus.
Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about doubt. Have you ever doubted your spiritual condition? Have you ever said to yourself something like this, if I were really spiritual, I would always desire God above all things. I would love to pray. I would love my enemies. I would love to obey. I've said things like that often. And of course, it's true that if I were really spiritual, that is, perfectly spiritual, then I would be in heaven. I would be like Jesus. It's my aim, it's my goal, it's my earnest prayer, it is my hope that someday I will be really spiritual. I will be like Jesus. And I have that promise that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But if, because suddenly I am tempted not to love my enemy, or tempted not to really want to pray, if I then immediately conclude, well, I'm not spiritual at all, might as well just forget it, just throw in the towel, give up, there's no hope for me, that is the devil's work. That is exactly what Satan loves to do. He comes at us and he says, you big fake. You crumbum. You hypocrite. You didn't mean that decision you made for Jesus Christ. You didn't mean it when you surrendered that bitter spirit to him. You didn't mean it when you said you forgave your enemies. You think you're humble? You're the proudest person in the world. Well, of course, as soon as we think we're humble, we have proof that we're not. And if we don't think we're conceited, that's adequate proof that we are, isn't it? The truth is, we are not very spiritual people, most of us. We are far from being Christ-like. Shall I make a confession? Just the other day, in the mail, I got one of these fancy, glossy Christian magazines with a beautiful colored picture on the cover. And the first thing that I saw when I opened it was a double-page spread advertisement of a book by a very well-known Christian author. And the book happened to be on a subject that I've written a book on. What do you think my immediate reaction was? I hate to say the word, but it begins with J. You got it. Jealousy. I thought, my name isn't as big a name as that one. My publishers never put double-page spread ads in any magazine for my books. How come he or she gets to write a book about this, and the whole world knows about it, and I write a book about it, and it sinks without a ripple? Well, if I had immediately said to myself, I'm not very spiritual, I would have been right on. I was not very spiritual. Right away, I was making an enemy in my mind out of that perfectly innocent, perfectly godly author to whom God had given the gift of writing that book. And I was hating those publishers who don't happen to be my publishers because they do what my publisher doesn't do for me. And I didn't want to pray about it, and I wasn't loving God, so I was guilty of a whole long list of sins. But the Spirit of God was not very far away, because the Spirit of God almost instantly revealed to me the evil in my mind and heart. It had happened so fast But he was there just as fast as he came to the disciples on the water. Just in time. And I said, Lord, I recognize this for what it is. It is jealousy, it's envy, it's hatred. I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what else can I do? Of course, I'm not very spiritual because things like that arise all the time. But the very fact that the Spirit of God convicted me that it was sin proves to me that Christ lives in me. I have the mind of Christ. So if you this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you're listening to this program, have been doubting your spiritual condition, remember that every sin, when God convicts us of that sin, points us again to the power of His blood. It points us to our need of Him and to His cross. We're not perfect. Am I talking to anybody that's perfect out there? Write me a letter if you are. I'd sure like to meet you. Any of you live with perfect people? You thought your husband was perfect before you married him, didn't you? He turns out to be full of surprises. You ask God to make you feel loving. You ask Him to make you want to do good. You ask Him to help you to want His will and to get rid of bad moods. He doesn't do it. Why? Doesn't He want to? Can't He? Listen, He wants us to learn to choose and to refuse. He is not going to change my feelings without my cooperation, any more than He was going to enable Peter to walk on the water without Peter's having to take the risk of getting out of the boat and Peter's choosing to keep his eyes on Jesus. I have the power to choose and the power to refuse. And God gave me the grace to refuse the wicked, jealous, envious thoughts that I had about that other author. As His creature, I may refuse the bad. I am made in His image. I am able to choose no matter what temporary moods or inclinations would persuade me to do otherwise. But my will has to be trained to choose the good, trained to do the will of God. That's a long, hard, slow process. Don't be discouraged. God will give you the opportunity before this day is over to choose one thing for His sake and to refuse one thing for His sake. I mean, of course, at least one thing. Probably He'll give us the opportunity to choose and refuse a good many things before the day is over. It's our freedom that binds us to Himself. A lover chooses to bind himself. As I told you the other day, my producer, who used to be Jan Anderson, is now Jan Wismer. She chose to bind herself to a man named Lauren Wismer. Why? Because she wasn't free? She was so free she couldn't stand it. She didn't want to be free for the rest of her life. She didn't want to be single for the rest of her life if God gave her the freedom to bind herself in marriage. And so last November 25th, she bound herself in marriage. She voluntarily stood up there before God and witnesses, and she made some absolutely breathtaking promises. Why? Because she loved this man. The lover chooses to bind herself. We choose in perfect freedom to love God. But loving Him means binding ourselves to Him forever. And then what happens? Moods. We're up one day and down the next. We feel terribly spiritual one day when we're in church and we hear a wonderful sermon and we love what the minister is saying and we feel real good about it and the children are behaving themselves and everything's just fine and we've got a delicious dinner cooking in the oven. And then we get home and everything falls apart. Are we to take our spiritual temperature according to our moods? Of course not. We are to go back to that irrevocable choice that we made to belong to Jesus, to be a Christian, to follow in obedience, cost what it may. Our feelings evaporate sometimes, even for the people we love the most. And then we have the freedom to choose to go on loving them. God made our individuality. Don't forget that. He gave us our independence to choose, and He made us apart from Himself, so that our freedom, as George MacDonald says, and here I am letting you know that I didn't get this idea myself. George MacDonald says, our freedom binds us divinely nearer to Himself. Never imagine that a lack of feeling means a lack of faith. What ups and downs faith would be subject to if that were the case. Do you believe? Then what are you being asked to do today? What are your duties? A wonderful doubt chaser, I find, is to go and do something that you know very well needs to be done, and you don't feel like doing it. Here's an example of something that you know needs to be done. Pray for somebody else who is tormented by doubt. Write a letter to somebody. Read Ephesians 1. There's a doubt chaser. Here's a few verses from there. In Christ He chose us before the world was founded to be dedicated, to be without blemish in His sight, to be full of love, and He destined us, such was His will and pleasure, to be accepted as His sons, forgiven through the shedding of His blood, brought into a unity in Christ, to cause His glory to be praised. Ephesians 1 is great therapy for a doubter. The highest condition of the human will, George MacDonald says, is when not seeing God, not seeming to itself to grasp Him at all, yet holds Him fast. Thou art not bound to feel, but thou art bound to arise. You can't always love when you feel like it, but you are bound to fight hatred. May God help us to resist doubt, to choose to trust Him.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.